Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman member by Ram Goldar and today Masechas Avodah Zorah Daf Lamed, the second parak Im Amidin. The Zichu Masechas Avodah Zorah program has been dedicated Lezecher Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem Alav Hashalom and Lezecher Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Alav Hashalom. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara discusses numerous cases of Giuli, the prohibition of uncovered liquids, the concern that a snake may have drunk from it and injected its venom into it. Rabba and Rav Yosef said, Yain mazug embo mishum Giuli. Diluted wine is not subject to the prohibition of uncovered liquids because snakes do not drink diluted wine. Yain mavushal embo mishum nisuch. Cooked wine is not subject to the nesach prohibition of an idolater's wine. The Gemara asks if Yain Mavushal is subject to Giuli, and several testimonies are related permitting it. Although an Amora once told his attendant to dilute his wine to discourage an approaching snake, the Gemara suggests that it only risks its life for undiluted wine. The Gemara objects that a snake once put water into a barrel until the wine rose over the cloth covering and drank it with people nearby, indicating it does risk its life for diluted wine. The Gemara suggests that a snake only does so for wine it diluted, but not that someone else diluted. But the Gemara protests, Pirukah Sakanta, are you giving answers regarding danger? We cannot rely on suggested answers regarding danger. Indeed, Rava ruled that all Yain Mazuk is subject to Giuli and Nesach, but Yain Mavushal is subject to neither. Point number two, Rabbi Yeshua of the South said, Shloshimina Erashen, there are three types of snake venom. Shalbachra Shokea, that of a young snake sinks to the bottom of the container being thick. Shalbenoni Mefapea, that of a middle-aged snake penetrates to the middle. Shalzakin Tzaf, and that of an old snake floats on top. The Gemara objects that a brisa lists fish, snakes, and pigs as creatures which grow stronger with age, and answers that although it grows stronger, zehire kalish, its venom weakens. The relevance of a young snake's venom sinking is taught by a brisa, which states that if a barrel was left uncovered, then even if 9 people drank from it, apparently indicating it does not contain venom, a 10th should still not drink from it since there may be venom at the bottom. There was such an incident in which the 10th person to drink from an uncovered barrel died, and Rabbi Yirmiyah explained, Zehu Shokea, this is a case of sinking venom. The same is taught regarding a melon left exposed with a parallel incident and explanation. And point number three, was taught in a brisa, Maim Shinis Galu, water that became uncovered, Har Zeh Lo Yishpechem Berushas Rabim, one should not spill it out into the public domain where someone walking barefoot may step on it and it may penetrate his skin. He shouldn't sprinkle his house with it to keep the dust down, nor knead clay with it, because it may penetrate his hands. He should not give it to his or another person's animal to drink, nor wash his face, hands, or feet with it. Others say that any part with a sirta, a crevice, should not be washed with it, which means to exclude the tops of the hands and feet and cheekbones, which are smooth. The Gemara quotes another brisa which permits giving it to one's own animal to drink and explains this refers to shunra, a cat, which can withstand snake venom. Still, it's prohibited to give it to someone else's cat since it weakens it. Although it will recover, the owner may wish to sell it in the interim and its value will be diminished. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Gemara discusses numerous cases of Giuli, the prohibition of uncovered liquids, the concern that a snake may have drunk from it and injected its venom into it. Rabba and Rav Yosef said, Yain mazug embo mishum Giuli. Diluted wine is not subject to the prohibition of uncovered liquids because snakes do not drink diluted wine. Yain mavushal embo mishum nisuch. Cooked wine is not subject to the nesach prohibition of an idolater's wine. The Gemara asks if Yain Mavushal is subject to Giuli, and several testimonies are related permitting it. Although an Amora once told his attendant to dilute his wine to discourage an approaching snake, the Gemara suggests that it only risks its life for undiluted wine. The Gemara objects that a snake once put water into a barrel until the wine rose over the cloth covering and drank it with people nearby, indicating it does risk its life for diluted wine. The Gemara suggests that a snake only does so for wine it diluted, but not that someone else diluted. But the Gemara protests, Pirukah Sakanta, are you giving answers regarding danger? We cannot rely on suggested answers regarding danger. Indeed, Rava ruled that all Yain Mazuk is subject to Giuli and Nesach, but Yain Mavushal is subject to neither. Point number two, Rabbi Yeshua of the South said, Shloshimina Erashen, there are three types of snake venom. Shalbachra Shokea, that of a young snake sinks to the bottom of the container being thick. Shalbenoni Mefapea, that of a middle-aged snake penetrates to the middle. Shalzakin Tzaf, and that of an old snake floats on top. The Gemara objects that a braisa lists fish, snakes, and pigs as creatures which grow stronger with age, and answers that although it grows stronger, zehirei kalish, its venom weakens. The relevance of a young snake's venom sinking is taught by a braisa, which states that if a barrel was left uncovered, then even if 9 people drank from it, apparently indicating it does not contain venom, a 10th should still not drink from it since there may be venom at the bottom. There was such an incident in which the 10th person to drink from an uncovered barrel died, and Rabbi Yirmiyah explained, Zehu Shokea, this is a case of sinking venom. The same is taught regarding a melon left exposed with a parallel incident and explanation. And point number 3 was taught in a braisa, Maim Shinis Galu, water that became uncovered, Har Zeh Lo Yishpechem Berushas Harabim, one should not spill it out into the public domain where someone walking barefoot may step on it and it may penetrate his skin. He shouldn't sprinkle his house with it to keep the dust down, nor knead clay with it, because it may penetrate his hands. He should not give it to his or another person's animal to drink, nor wash his face, hands, or feet with it. Others say that any part with a sirta, a crevice, should not be washed with it, which means to exclude the tops of the hands and feet and cheekbones, which are smooth. The Gemara quotes another braisa which permits giving it to one's own animal to drink and explains this refers to shunra, a cat, which can withstand snake venom. Still, it's prohibited to give it to someone else's cat since it weakens it. Although it will recover, the owner may wish to sell it in the interim and its value will be diminished. All right, so now we got our siman daf lamed, and our standard siman is a melamed, a rebbe. So here goes. After Rabbi Nachshon showed his class that snakes only drink from uncovered wine when it's not diluted, and how snake venom sinks in liquid depending on the age of the snake, he told him that even uncovered water is dangerous if it's poured in Rishus HaRabim, where someone barefoot may step in it. Once again, in slow motion. After Rabbi Nachshon, that must be daf lamed, melamed. After Rabbi Nachshon showed his class that snakes only drink from uncovered wine when it's not diluted, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses numerous cases of Giuli, the prohibition of uncovered liquids, the concern that a snake may have drunk from it and injected its venom into it. Rabbi Yosef said, Yain mazug ein bo mishum Giuli. Diluted wine is not subject to the prohibition of uncovered liquids because snakes do not drink diluted wine. So, after Rabbi Nachshon showed his class that snakes only drink from uncovered wine when it's not diluted, and how snake venom sinks in liquid depending on the age of the snake, which reminds us, Rabbi Yeshua of the South said, Shosha mini eras hen, there are 3 types of snake venom. Shalbachur shokea, that of a young snake, sinks to the bottom of the container being thick. Shalbenuni mefapea, that of a middle-aged snake, penetrates in the middle. Vishalzakin tzaf, and that of an old snake, floats on top. The relevance of a young snake's venom sinking is taught by a braisa, which states that if a barrel was left uncovered, then even if 9 people drank from it, apparently indicating it does not contain venom, a 10th should still not drink from it since there may be venom at the bottom. So after Rabbi Nachshon showed his class that snakes only drink from uncovered wine when it's not diluted, and how snake venom sinks in liquid depending on the age of the snake, he told them that even uncovered water is dangerous if it's poured in Rishus HaRabim where someone barefoot may step in it. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, Maim Shinis Galu, water that became uncovered, Har Zeh Lo Yishpechem Berushus HaRabim, one should not spill it out into the public domain where someone walking barefoot may step on it and it may penetrate his skin. He should not sprinkle his house with it to keep the dust down, nor knead clay with it because it may penetrate his hands. He should not give it to his or another person's animal to drink, nor wash his face, hands, or feet with it. So once again, after Rabbi Nachshon showed his class that snakes only drink from uncovered wine when it's not diluted, and how snake venom sinks in liquid depending on the age of the snake, he told him that even uncovered water is dangerous if it's poured in Rishus HaRabim where someone barefoot may step in it. All right, so now it's time for a 4 Blabach Hazara. Daf Chavav. So the siman Daf Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. As one soldier in the military coup, that must be on Daf Chavav. As one soldier in the military coup bursts into the delivery room to stop the idolater nurse from delivering a Jewish baby, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokas whether an Obedes Kohavim can deliver or nurse a Jewish infant. So, as one soldier in the military coup bursts into the delivery room to stop the idolater nurse from delivering a Jewish baby, another found a mumru who's at Ochel Nevela Hachis, who was lowered down in to a pit, which reminds us, the Gemara brings machlokas if an Ochel Nevela Hachis is considered a mean regarding Meriden being permitted to lower down into a pit. So as one soldier in the military coup burst into the delivery room to stop the idolater nurse from delivering a Jewish baby, another found a mumru who's a nochel in the Beit HaHachis who was lowered down into a pit and took away the ladder that was in it, telling the mumru that he needed it to help the soldier get down from the roof, which reminds us the Braisa taught that regarding minim and informers, that marin v'lamalin, we lower them and do not raise them up. So the Gemara asks, if we may even lower them into a pit to kill them, why does the Braisa need to mention that we do not raise them up? Rav Sheshes answers that if there was such a person already in the pit, and there was a ledge from which they could climb out, he should remove it with an excuse such as, so that my animals do not descend with this ledge into the pit. Ravina said that if there was a ladder by which they could climb out of the pit, he should take it away with an excuse such as, I need it now to lower my son from the roof. Daf Chav Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. The Kusimo, who tried unsuccessfully to get Jewish business by offering the parents free kazoos, that must be on Daf Chav Zayin. The Kusi Moyo, who tried unsuccessfully to get Jewish business by offering the parents free kazoos for the kids, which reminds us, it was taught in a brace where Yudah says that a Yisrael may circumcise a Kusi, but a Kusi may not circumcise a Yisrael because they circumcise for the sake of their idol and hard greasing, which is invalid. Yossi disagrees. Where do we find in the Torah that Mila must be performed Lishma? Rather, a Kusi can circumcise a Yisrael. So the Kusimoyo, who tried unsuccessfully to get Jewish business by offering the parents free kazoos for the kids, noticed the pagan doctor next door was treating a sheep that belonged to a Jew that swallowed a kazoo, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Misrapin mehem ripui mamun, we may be healed by them a monetary healing, avol ripui nefashos, but not healing of the nefesh. This cannot mean to distinguish between non-life-threatening conditions and life-threatening conditions, because Rav Yehuda said, even for the puncture from bloodletting, which is only painful, we're not treated by them. Rather, the permitted ripui mamun refers to healing one's animal, and the prohibited ripui nefashos refers to healing oneself. So the Kusi Moyo, who tried unsuccessfully to get Jewish business by offering the parents free kazoos for the kids, noticed the pagan doctor next door was treating a sheep that belonged to a Jew that swallowed a kazoo. When he was asked to see a Jew who would definitely die if he wasn't treated immediately, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, Safak chai, safak meis, a patient who may live and may die if he's not treated may not receive treatment from a pagan doctor because it's likely the doctor will kill him. Vadai meis, but if he'll definitely die if left untreated, misrap mehen, we may be healed by them. The Gemara asks, ha'ika chai shah, but there is short-term life that he risks by receiving the doctor's treatment. It answers, l'chai shah l'chai shin, we are unconcerned about short-term life. We're risking it facilitates possible long-term recovery. Daf Chav Ches, so the Simmer Daf Chav Ches is a strong man. So here goes. The strong man, that must be on Daf Chav Ches, koach. The strong man who wasn't afraid that the pagan nobleman he went to for treatment of his tooth ailment would try to kill him, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, according to one version, kol makas shel chalal, for any internal affliction which is life-threatening and permits desecrating Shabbos to heal, one may not receive treatment from a pagan doctor. Rabbi Yami defines an internal affliction as minasafa lefnim, from the lips and inward. Rabbi Lazar asked, what's the status of gums or teeth? Since they're hard, are they considered external, or since they're inside the mouth, they're considered internal? The Gemara attempts to bring a proof from the incident with Rabbi Yochanan, who went to a pagan noblewoman to get treatment for a tooth ailment, but rejects it by explaining his specific tooth ailment is connected to the intestines. So, the strong man who wasn't afraid that the pagan noblewoman he went to for treatment of his tooth ailment would try to kill him, because her diploma stated she was a rofe mumcha, and she wouldn't want to harm her reputation, which reminds us, the Gemara wonders how Rabbi Yochanan accepted treatment from the pagan noblewoman, since Rabbi Yochanan himself ruled that life-threatening conditions may not be treated by a pagan doctor. It answers that Rabbi Yochanan's doctor was a rofe mumcha, an expert doctor who's afraid of harming his reputation by killing his Jewish patients. So the strong man who wasn't afraid that the pagan noblewoman he went to for treatment of his tooth ailment would try to kill him, because her diploma said that she was a rofe mumcha, and she wouldn't want to harm her reputation, saw a maidservant sitting with a bandage over her eye that wasn't treated when it became inflamed on Shabbos, which reminds us, Marshmallow's maidservant's eye became inflamed on Shabbos, and she cried out in pain, but no one helped her, and the eye burst. The next day, Marshmallow taught, Ein shemarda mutl kochu b'Shabbos. One may anoint an eye which rebelled on Shabbos because the eyesight is connected to the muscles of the heart. Daf Chav Tes, so the Simmer Daf Chav Tes is a cot. So here goes. The yid sitting on the special haircut caught. That must be more on Daf Chavtes. The yid sitting on the special haircut cot stared at the mirror to look chashuv, which reminds us, a braisa states that when a Jew is taking a haircut from an idolater, roa b'ma'ara, he should look into a mirror, indicating he's particular that his hair is cut professionally. This cannot refer to haircutting done in public because a mirror is unnecessary. The Gemara explains that although the haircutting is done in private, using a mirror permits it, since he insists on using a mirror. Mischazi called him chashuv. He appears like a prominent person who would care about the quality of his haircut, and the Akum is afraid to harm him. So the yid sitting on the special haircut cut stared at the mirror to look chashuv and saw that the goy barber pouring wine for his avodah zara, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Eil dvarim she'ovdu kochavim asurin. These are the items of idolaters which are prohibited. Bisurin isur hanah, and the prohibition is in isur hanah. Wine and vinegar of an Akum, which was originally wine, are prohibited because he may have poured them for his idol. So the yid sitting on the special haircut cot stared at the mirror to look chashuv and saw that the goy barber pouring wine for his avodah zara was making sure not to use his kosher vinegar and cooked wine he brought in single seal bottles, which reminds us that Jew's vinegar in Akum's hands does not require a chosam betok chosam, a seal within a seal, meaning a double seal, as wine does. Rather, a single seal is sufficient. An Akum would not pour vinegar as a libation to his idol, as inferred with the Mishnah, and there's no concern he exchanged the vinegar for his own prohibited vinegar of lower quality, because he would not bother to break and forge a single seal to make this exchange. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf in the one who gets a haircut from an Akum should look into a mirror to look chashuv? That's on daf Chavtes. Good. Number 2. Which daf in the Rabbi Yochanan says that one can use a pagan doctor if one will definitely die if left untreated? That's on daf Chav Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that water which became uncovered should not be spilled out into Rishus of Rabbim, where someone walking barefoot may step in it? That's on daf Lamed. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn that if one finds a mean in a pit, he should take away the ladder that's in it and say that he needs it to lower his son from the roof? That's on daf Chavav. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn that vinegar and yayim mevushel are permitted with a single seal? That's on daf Chavtes. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that the 3 different types of snake venom and the difference in how they float in water? That's on daf Lamed. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we bechok is whether an Ovedes Kochavim can deliver or nurse a Jewish infant? That's on daf Chava. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn that Yain Mazuk, diluted wine, is not subject to the prohibition of uncovered liquids because snakes do not drink diluted wine? That's on daf Lamed. Good. Number 9. Which daf does the Gemara bring a machokas regarding how many hours the sun stood still for Yehoshua? That's on daf Chafhe. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we learn the cows bringing the Aron sang Shira? That's on daf Chavdalet. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.